Okay, my name is Gina Law. I am at Greater Alton Church. I am a fourth grade teacher by trade, so if I get a little teachery, I'm sorry. But I do have that wonderful projectable voice, so if you can't ever hear me, please just raise your hand and let us know. We are talking about showing the force of beauty. We're going to talk about our character and living a selfless and sacrificial life. This is a huge part of our walk with God. According to some recent research, 65% of American adults between 18 and 42 would agree with the statement, "I have made a personal commitment to Jesus," that is still very important. Well, that sounds wonderful. But the same research shows that these same committed Christians lived a lifestyle that was statistically equivalent to that of a non-Christian. In other words, their character and actions were about the same. There are many areas of character and ways that we can live a sacrificial life that we could look at. We are going to focus on Matthew 5 and showing the force of beauty at the most difficult times.
We handed out these papers for you guys, too, just because we use different versions, and I thought it's kind of helpful to have it right in front of you so you can read along.
Pass those down.
And actually, I mean, those verses are like the best part of the lesson. I got a lot out of this. This actually, sitting down the last couple weeks and looking at this stuff has been very helpful to me in different situations that have come up, so I hope it helps you guys, too.
You know, I was thinking, hearing Stephanie, Denise, and we were just in Janice Wade's class. You have several different women from all different walks of life, different age groups and everything, and we've been given, you know, kind of a baseline topic, and I hear some of the same things that will come from our class, that came from Janice's class, that came from Stephanie's class, and I'm like, if you can't see God working in that, you know, I'm like, none of us talked about our lessons, before this day at all. So, you know, I'm like, okay, God, I get it. This is what I need to work on. Okay, so Matthew 5, 38 through 42 in the NIV version says, "You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you."
Okay, well, we want to stop for a minute and talk about what is Jesus really trying to say to us here. Because we don't really get slapped in the face too often anymore.
Well.
And people don't say, "Hey, will you help me carry this a mile down the road?" Because first of all, we don't walk a mile. We get in our car and drive. But anyway, so we need to stop and look at what he's saying here. And what he's telling us is to be humble, to give more than we were asked, and to do more than required. And he's saying that when we decided to follow God, we gave our honor to God. So it's not up to us to defend ourselves and our honor. Okay, and if you go back into the history, being slapped on the right cheek was like the most severe form of insult back at that time. Mm-hmm. And there's something about the right cheek. I don't know if I slapped you on the left cheek. It's not the same as the right cheek. But it was just a way to publicly dishonor you, really. Okay, and the next part when he was talking about taking your coat in court, back in the Old Testament, the law prohibited someone from taking your coat because a lot of poor people, that's the only, they had to use their coats for their bedding also. You know, Jesus is telling us to give your coat away also. And then the last part, when he's talking about going the second mile, a lot of you guys know this, but, you know, back in that time, Roman soldiers were able to requisition you to help me carry this another mile.
Right.
And it wasn't just so much the fact that you had to help them, it was the fact that you kind of had to choose sides, because if you helped a Roman soldier, it was like picking a side, and it was life-threatening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in all that, Jesus is really using an exaggeration, you know, kind of like he did when he said to gouge out your eye or cut off your hand. You know, he's using an exaggeration to make a point here that we're supposed to respond with kindness and love, not retaliation.
Mm.
Okay, now I'm going to go on down like on your paper, Matthew 5, verses 43 through 47, out of the Message. And I think really this little part of the scripture here, this kind of sums up the whole lesson in a way. Let's go ahead and read it. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. For then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives His best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish to everyone, regardless, the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any round-the-mill sinner does that. Okay, and here's the good part. In a word, what I am saying is, grow up, your kingdom subjects, now live like it, live out your God-created identity, live generously and graciously towards others, the way God lives towards you. Okay, what I believe Jesus is really telling us here, and this is the whole thing of our whole lesson, when treated unfairly, we honor God and we love the other person. And I've got this fixed in my head now after looking at all this, and this has helped me a lot. We're going to repeat this a lot. When treated unfairly, we honor God and love the other person. Okay.
That's right.
It's your turn.
That's right. You know, I think back to Stephanie's lesson this morning. Says, I'll do it when it's easy. I don't want to do it when it's hard. I don't know how to do it when it's hard, so I'll just avoid it and run away from it. So our character is tested when it's tough, when it's hard, when things aren't easy. When we're treated unfairly, our character is tested. When someone is demanding or crossing our boundaries, that's our opportunity to show that force of beauty. You are God's greatest weapon, especially against Satan. Okay, and he knows that. Philippians 1, 9 through 11 in the Message says, so this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but you will love well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Live a lover's life, circumspect and exemplary, a life Jesus would be proud of. Bountiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus attractive to all, getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of God. The other person will think about God either lost, it doesn't matter if they're a lost person or a saved person. So when you're treated unfairly, you need to honor God and love the other person.
Okay, so before we get any farther, we want to try to give you some examples about what it looks today, what it looks like to get slapped in the face today, or, you know, treated unfairly. We're just going to call it slapped in the face because I like that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Because it feels like you've been slapped in the face certain times.
Okay, so we're just going to alternate here and go through a list of things, give you an idea what we're talking about. The first one, our boss is so demanding and doesn't recognize our efforts.
We have the best intentions and we're really trying to help someone, but they respond with much disrespect.
We are treated unfairly by a stranger at the store or in traffic.
My husband doesn't pay attention to my needs or think about what I need, but complains that I don't pay attention to his needs.
We have been abused.
Our teenager is on a woo roller coaster and moodier than moody.
Are personal examples.
None of
them. Someone borrowed something and did not repay it.
A sister at church confronted me about something and didn't have the correct information.
I told you I was sorry about that. My small group leader is always asking me to take care of something and expects me to do more than I want to.
They asked me to bring more than ice last week. Someone jumps my case about a situation, but they don't see their part in it.
Someone just doesn't like me and is unfriendly towards me. They don't even really know me.
I'm sorry. A new person is so draining and they require so much help.
Mm-hmm. I'm always serving in this ministry and the people around me won't help. Move on now, come on.
I've been trying to help someone for a long time and they just don't recognize my efforts.
Okay, and the last one, a close friend had a problem with me, but instead of talking to me, they gave me the cold shoulder and talked to someone else about it.
All right, so we have to take a step back from all of these situations and say, is this really the way God sees it, or does it just feel, you know, it's that feelings word. Was I really treated unfairly? When we have strong, off-the-charts, roller-coaster emotions response to something, it tells us that something's there. I know if I get very defensive, that it's something that is in my character and it needs to be changed. My walls will... I mean, you can see it on my face and in my actions, okay? Something's not healthy. It's just like when we have a fever, it tells us we're sick, that there's something wrong. So...
Okay, yeah, I just want to stop for a minute because we do need to stop and ask ourselves, was I really slapped in the face or does it just feel like it? And like she said, you know, all of us, we know a lot about having an emotional wound, and I think we all have a wound, and like you were talking about, sometimes we do have this off-the-charts emotion about it. And I just want to stop here and talk about this for a second, and I want to use an example. A lot of you know I have this strange condition called vestibular neuritis, and of course, nobody's ever heard of it. I hadn't either until it happened to me. But I've been dealing with it for like a year and a half. And long story short, what it is an inflammation of my balance nerve. So sometimes my body is trying to tell me where I'm at in space, you know, like in all the things that go into telling your body where it's at, like visual, all the sounds and everything. My nerve isn't acting correctly, so it sends the wrong information to my brain. And that's the way it is with our feelings. You know, our feelings sometimes are deceitful, so they're sending the wrong message, and we're acting on those feelings, and we're acting on the wrong information sometimes. You know, and that can cause a lot of problems, obviously. And I just want to go back to Matthew 5:48 when he says to grow up. I don't look at it as like a grow up. I look at him saying it's mature.
Yeah.
And I just want to ask you guys, whatever's in your life, if you have something, please stop and take a look at it, because I've seen too many people ignore it, and then they end up falling away, or the relationships are poor, or it's just there, it doesn't go away, and you need to take a look at it. You know, get some healing, get some understanding, get some help with it. And, you know, your emotional maturity and your spiritual maturity are inseparable. You can't be spiritually mature if you're emotionally unhealthy.
Right.
And so it's just something we have to take a look at. That's just kind of a side note.
Right. And if you bottle, you know, and then some nice person like Susan might come along and you attack her and she didn't do anything to you. You know, it's just, but because you've put things in that deep, dark chest where you didn't want anybody to help you deal with it, now you're lashing at somebody that was just there to help. All right, so how should I respond? Okay, as we go through these next points, this is... it's called a ladies' retreat, but it should be a self-retreat, okay? It's not thinking, man, I sure hope Susan was listening to that point because she needed some work on that one. It's about, and I really try and write I in everything that I write down, or Janice is really good at putting her name in the scripture. So put your name in all of these things. Okay, when you respond, you have to respond in a way that honors God. We honor him by acting the way that he does. Okay, Matthew 5:48 says, you are kingdom subjects, now act like it, the way God lives towards you. It's about me and God. It is not about me and that other person. Okay?
Yeah, I know. That has helped me so much, because if you're able to, you know, if I'm having problems with my husband, Gary, if I'm able to look past Gary and think about God, how does God want me to react in this situation? How can I honor God? Because it is really about me and God. It's not about me and Gary. And that does help a lot, I think.
Right. It goes back to your relationship with God. And I think this series that we're going through at Greater Alton, it puts Jesus in your presence. So I try to picture, like, Jesus standing right there beside me, you know, when I'm like, I'm like, ooh. Maybe that wasn't what I was supposed to do. In Hosea 1:2-3, and then New Living Translation, it says, when the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, go and marry a prostitute so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. So Hosea married Gomer. And then down in verse 7 it says, but I will show love to the people of Judah. I will free them from their enemies. God treats us with unconditional love. There's dependent love versus God's love. Dependent love says, I will take them dinner because they brought me dinner. I will pick them up from church because they offered to pick me up from church. We get very self-absorbed in thinking, I will react with love when they've reacted with love towards me. It's very conditioned based. It's based on feelings. God's love is the opposite. He takes feelings out of it. He says, I love you. I don't care. I love you. He doesn't want anything back. You do what's right because it is right. It's your choice. It's not because someone else, you know, is telling you to do it. He wants you in heaven. That's it. You do this because it pleases God. And this is the hard part when you're in it emotionally. You have to say, God loves this person. I don't know how, but he does. So you say, okay. So if you could say those words or in the middle, you say, God loves you. So, should I respond?
I know, but if you're thinking about this is a person that God loves, and you're thinking, how does God want me to treat this person that God mm-hmm. loves? Mm-hmm. And, you know, think about it, he's her daddy. You know, you don't yes. want to treat them the wrong way. He's going to treat them the way God wants them to be treated. So it does help, I think.
Kind of picturing him back here going, I love this person. Yes. And you're like, oh.
And it is hard to imagine sometimes.
So, going back to it, when we're treated unfairly, we honor God and love the other person. So, ask yourself, have I acted in a way that honored God in that moment?
Okay, the next part, I examine myself and take responsibility for my part. Okay, I'm going to go through this kind of quickly. There's a lot of information here. But first, you know, I need to get input from other people that know me and know God, because our feelings can be deceiving. We want to ask somebody, do you see the same thing I see here? You know, because I think I was treated unfairly and something went bad here. Do you see that? You know, so get some other eyes on it. Okay, the second thing, I must examine myself and ask, how have I contributed to this situation? Did I deserve to be slapped? Because sometimes we do. Sometimes we were asking for it because of our behavior, our sin, our rudeness, whatever it is. And this situation that just happened, it might very well just be God interrupting your life, trying to get your attention. There's something here that I need you to look at. There's something you've got to take a look at. Okay, after you've done that, third thing, I deal with my feelings about what happened. When we're treated unfairly, anger is a very natural response. You know, because if Gina came out and slapped me on the face, I'm going to have some kind of response to it. and you know, your anger comes from your hurt, and your hurt comes from an unmet expectation. Okay, and you can deal with this. There's four ways you can deal with it. You can vent. You can talk to your first 10 closest friends. You know, and you can suppress it. You can push it down, try to act like it didn't happen, but it's going to leak out. You can repress it, try to exclude it from your memory. Or the last one, you can process it, which is what we need to do. And we don't need to just put on our church face, you know, and act like, it's okay. And, you know, like in Psalm 62, it says, when your words are kind, hatred hides in your heart. That, I'm like, yeah, that's us walking around acting like it's okay, but it's really not okay. And we don't want to do that. We want to process it the right way. So, this is a little quick steps here. First, you know, identify your unmet expectation that caused your hurt. You know, and I've been told there's four that are the most common. Number one, I was never good enough. Two, I have to be perfect. Three, I can't control others. Four, I'm disappointed in myself. Okay. The next thing you need to do is determine who you're dealing with in this situation. You know, like the Wounded Heart book has guidelines on how to treat different abusers. You know, and you know, we can call our people offenders or whatever, whoever it was that slapped us on the face. But, you know, in the Wounded Heart book, there's the average abuser, the capital A abuser, and the surrogate abuser. And obviously, depending on what has happened, your response is going to be different. So if you have an average abuser, like somebody cuts you off in traffic, you're not going to go sit down, have a talk with them, and, you know, confront their sin. You know, but if you have something else more serious going on, you need to ask, is there sin going on here? Is somebody being hurt? Is there some bitterness that's growing? We need to go confront their sin because there's a problem there, and that's the most loving thing to do for them, is to confront their sin, and also so nobody else gets hurt from it. Okay, and after that, then we just need to deal with ourselves. You know, we got to, you know, change our expectations that life is not fair, or, you know, do the grief work or mourn our losses, whatever we need to do. The last thing I have down in this part is that you need to help forgiveness take place. I need to ask for forgiveness if that's appropriate, if I did something. I need to give forgiveness to the person, and I need to forgive myself if I had a part in this. You know, and I can think of situations where I've had to do all three of those things, you know, because, you know, sometimes it's both parts. And I just want to throw this out there, too, that we all have two stories to tell. And sometimes we need to learn how to retell our stories, because we can tell our story from the point of being a victim. You know, you can just live there. You can live in that all your life about being a victim. Or you can tell your story from a point of view of gratitude. Not glad that it happened, but this is what I learned, and this is how I can help other people because of it. Okay, and so, you know, sometimes you do need to think about it. And we choose how we tell our stories. I mean, we can choose which how we're going to focus on, what we're going to look at. So, and the last thing about this, we just got to make peace with it. Once we've dealt with it, we need to make peace with it. And I was thinking about this. I saw this on Facebook a month ago. You guys know the Beyonce, I think it's Beyonce, all the single ladies?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, they had this cool kind of spoof on Facebook called All the Wrinkled Ladies, which I thought was really funny because I am pushing 50 and I'm starting to understand something. So, but anyway, one of the lines in there, I know it sounds weird, but it really helped me because she kept saying, make peace with it. And, you know, they're talking about your wrinkles and all that, but they're saying this situation, you can't change it. You need to accept it and make peace with it and then let it go.
You just need to let it go.
Yes. And that's how we need these things. Deal with it and let it go. You don't need to hang on to it and carry it around with you for 5 years.
Right. So, I think back to one time, you know, someone said when somebody wounds you, it's like, you know, getting stabbed in the side. Well, you can either, if you're hanging on to things years and years and years later, you let that knife stay in there. You didn't take it out and you didn't let the healing start. So it's your choice whether you want to leave that knife in there and let that wound continually bleed, or it's your choice to take it out. All right. So the third thing is, I choose to love the other person. You know, we get very caught up in, you don't know what I've gone through. You don't know what I've been through. You know, nobody understands this. Well, if you feel that way, how do you think the other person feels? Everyone has their own battle. Everyone's battle is different. Everyone's battle is emotional. People make decisions based on what they have and where they are. So you need to evaluate, am I dealing with a wounded person here? You know, what side of the wound are they on? And that will help you make some decisions. Look below their actions to the root of what is going on. If someone is very snippy at you at church, your first reaction is like, what did I do to you? You know, but you have to kind of take a step back and say, okay, this normal, smiling, joyful person is being very snippy and rude today. Something has got to be going on. And so, you know, can I help them and what is going on with them? Going back to Philippians 1, learning to love appropriately, okay? You want to respond in a way that Jesus says, I am so proud of you, Gina, for the way you responded to that. Making it see so that other people, if other people see how I respond, then they will, in an appropriate way, they will respond maybe the next time it happens to them. I was with my son in the car and driving down our country road, and I saw this beautiful teenage girl in her small little car coming at a flying pace, and there was no way she was going to stop at this stop sign. I just knew it. And so as I approached, she swung out. I swung to the left and did not cause a big accident, but I pulled over to the side and she comes up. She goes, I'm so sorry. And in my mind, I'm thinking, my son is in this car, you know, and if 2 seconds, you know, this would have been a lot worse. And so I'm thinking, my son just hopped out of the car behind me. I'm like, you just need to slow down. This could have been a lot worse for you. You are in a small car. I am in a bigger car. This could have been very bad. And so my son tells me later, he says, oh, Mom, that really scared me. I just remember I was looking down and I heard a whoo and I heard a whoo and then you stopped. And I said, I could have responded a whole heck of a lot differently. You know, I could have gone out of my car screaming at the top of my lungs. I said, which way do you think God wanted me to respond? And he said, you know, accepting her forgiveness and telling her to be careful the next time. I'm like, that was the Holy Spirit working there, because that was not the way I wanted to respond. So we need to learn how to do this. You know, how do we do it? We're kind. We serve. Serving someone who is ungrateful, disrespectful. Oh, it just, that Satan's just like, oh, you know, gosh, I wish they wouldn't have done that. We give to them and we pray for them and we wish them well. When you don't know what to do, this is one thing that's just one of my pet peeves. If you don't know what to do, then you don't know what to do. Don't fake it. Well, you know, and dream up something. Just say, you know what? I will pray for you. Because that's the best thing that you can do. Just pray for them. Don't fake it. What does it do when someone is treated unfairly and they respond with unconditional love? They think about God, that either lost person or saved person.
I'm just going to say, I think this is huge. Because you think about all the efforts we put in, invite people to church, try and study with them, reach out, whatever. And if our character is not matching up, it's not going to matter what we're doing. But if you do something like this, if you treat somebody lovingly, even though they have, quote unquote, slapped you in the face, that is huge. It speaks volumes. And people around you, like the verse says, the other person will think about God, either lost person or saved. It's going to make them think about God. It's going to make your brothers and sisters think about, wow, look what she's doing. This is awesome. Yeah. You know, so I just think this is huge.
It is. It's huge. We talked about tools. We talked about the beauty tools and everything that we need to make ourselves beautiful. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6, in the Message version, this is one of my favorite, like, Jesus, like, Gina, I've got to get your attention here. The world is unprincipled. It is dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair. But we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. That scripture in a nutshell is, take captive of your thoughts and make them obedient to God. Because he knows what you're thinking. If you hold to that, say, God, you need to give me the words to speak here right now, because it's going to get very ugly if I speak for myself. Okay, so in this situation, ask yourself, am I really loving this person involved in this situation?
Okay, the next thing, I ask God for his help. Because obviously, depending on what's happened to you, these are very difficult things. And sometimes it takes a while to work through all this. You don't just decide, you know, and get over it. You know, we need to ask God for strength, you know, to do what is right. We need to ask him for wisdom, for insight. And I don't think we need to ask God why this happened, because it's going to happen to all of us. You know, if you're alive, you're going to get treated unfairly. And I think, you know, you need to try to look through the problem to see God on the other side. and to think about what is God going to make out of this, what is God going to do with this situation. And, I mean, you can probably all think of situations. I think about a time when somebody and Gary got in this huge fight, and there was absolutely no part of me that wanted to treat him fair or nice at all. But I remember praying, my God, please help me. And I don't remember what all we did, but then the way I treated him, I was even standing back like, oh my gosh, who is that? Because it's not me.
Right.
But it was really like God just took hold of me and helped me do the right thing. He helped me have the right attitude. And that's what I'm talking about. Ask God for strength to do these things. Okay, so when you're looking at this situation, you just need to ask yourself, have I really prayed about this and listened for God's voice and what to do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we have a little exercise that we'd like to do.
Oh, no.
Now you don't
have to look. Oh, you just have to look.
This lady,
pretty woman.
This is pretty woman walking down the street. This is what we do when we honor God and love the other person.
Aw, she's so pretty.
Now we also have another lady. You want to pick her up or you want me to?
I say UGMY. You think I know Ella? You ugly.
Ugly or is this beautiful? And think about when you do these actions, you look ugly to the lost or the saved person, or you show the beauty of God to the lost or the saved person.
Mm.
All right, go ahead.
All right. My neighbor doesn't like me. It's very unfriendly. So I wave every time I see them and I go out of my way to do nice things for them.
Okay, you're beautiful.
Beautiful.
Okay. My husband is always wanting something from me, but doesn't even think about me, so I do the same back and treat him the same way. That's ugly.
That's ugly. And you have to say it like that, too. Ugly.
Ugly.
Otherwise, you can make ugly sound pretty, but it ain't.
You missed my cheer?
Oh,
okay.
I'm like,
saying
you were
holding
up. All
right, go ahead.
My mother would like to be closer and is getting older. I don't have time or the patience to deal with it, but I am working hard as I can and to help her.
Beautiful.
A stranger cuts me off in traffic, so I give them the angry look and honk at them.
Does this not look like a lady in traffic that's so mad?
Anybody. And I said, honey, if they look like this, they just need to know they are ugly.
Friends about it. I don't want to say anything because I don't want to deal with any conflict.
A sister or brother at church is always asking for help, and it's not my job to take care of them, but I decide to have compassion for their situation. I do as much as I can, and I call others in the church to help too.
That's pretty.
It's so pretty. A leader in the church confronted me about an issue without knowing all the facts. I was judged unfairly, and I am still mad about it.
Someone I am close to leaves the church and stops talking to me. It hurts me, but I will look past their treatment of me, pray for her, and keep my foot in the door until she comes back to God.
I keep getting all the ugly ones.
No,
it's fine. I don't mind being ugly sometimes. I'm pretty on the other side. I had a run-in with that person in the past, and I don't want trouble, so I put on my happy face. And I see them and act like it's all fine, but it's not really.
That's Okay, and the last one, a new Christian has a lot of issues, and I don't know how to help them. I'm scared to get involved because I don't want to enable them. So I try to get them some professional help. I do what I can to show them love different than what the world does. All right, so, and now we just want to wrap this up. And again, I want to say, to show the force of beauty, we choose to honor God and love the other person. Okay, and I was thinking, when we started off this lesson about the research about how basically the church doesn't act differently than the world, that's sad to me. Mm-hmm. And I hope that our churches can be different than that. Mm-hmm. And the point of this whole lesson isn't for us to take a look at this and think, oh, I could never be that good. Somebody slaps me on the face, turn the other cheek. The point's not to feel bad about it. The point is just to take a look and take our next step of growth in becoming beauty, showing the beauty.
That's right. You know, I always say when my daughter responds to me in a way, I'm like, man, that is an ugly look on your face. You know, like, so to think about, and I know when I give my husband a dirty look, when I respond unkindly to him, when I do not respond well to my friends, you know, just thinking, oh, my goodness, this is what I look like in the mirror. That's pretty sad. So just one simple thing to just think, is that ugly or is that beautiful? So we are going to pray, and we will pray for lunch as well. We are going to get done on time. Way to go! Woo! All right. So if you we have about 5 minutes before we have to, before the official class time is over. But you can sometime today or now or later or this week, think about talking to someone and spending a few minutes sharing on where you want to grow in this area. Okay? Or maybe, you know, Satan, he's good at it, putting something in your life this week that's really going to test this and what you learned. So probably even on the way back to your house today, he's going to test it with traffic. So so let's pray. Dear God, we want to respond more like you. We want to treat others with unconditional love. And it's hard. It is so hard. We are sinful human beings. I am a sinful human being. I do not respond in godly ways most of the time. I hope that I can get better at responding in more godly ways, and that I see you cheering behind me, that you are so proud of me in the way I respond, the way you want me to. I pray that you just be with the women for the rest of today. Be with us just to take little steps into growing to be more like you, and not think that we have to have it all perfected by 3 o'clock this afternoon or even 3 o'clock next year. That as long as we're working towards the goal, we are honoring you, Father. I pray for the food that we have been so blessed with today, and I pray that you be with each and every one of us as we go throughout our week. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.